Last week we had a great lesson on free will versus legalism. It was heavy, wasn't it? These two lessons are very heavy. And why are they heavy? Because now we're in the section on your ministry. And to be able to minister, we have to have foundations so well set in our life, and we have to minister out of a biblical concept, not just what we're thinking in our own heads, what we're thinking is right. So in this section under building your ministry, we are here because God has called us all to be ministers, to fulfill the Great Commission. He wants all of us to go out and make disciples of men. To minister, we must minister with the mind of Christ. We need the mind of Christ, and we get that from this book and from meditating on this book and focusing on the Bible. So that's the purpose of this message. In the introduction, I want to give you some key thoughts on foolishness. Foolishness, including fool and folly, appears in the Scripture over 230 times. That means it is a major theme of Scripture, of foolishness and being a fool. God does deal with in His Word. The lesson will contrast foolishness with wisdom in the context of Christian maturity, specifically how to properly relate with others in receiving ministry, rather than having an attitude of, I can make it on my own. Pride is foolishness. How many agree with that? Pride is foolishness. Humility is the first step of wisdom. Was Jesus proud? Did he walk around with pride? I don't think so. He was very secure in knowing who he was. Thus, that enabled him to be humble. A key scripture is Proverbs 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Foolishness is bound up in every fiber of an immature person's being. God wants us to see us experiencing wisdom rather than foolishness. As we become more like Him, we grow in wisdom. How many of you know that? Have you grown in wisdom as you walked with Him? Every day, just a little bit wiser. In fact, the further we get in wisdom, the further we walk with Him, the more we see, oops, when we are foolish, we know it, right? Is that true? That's what Paul said. It was the end of his ministry when he said, I am chief of sinners. Not at the beginning, but at the end, because the closer we get to Him, the more we see we don't want to do anything to displease Him, and it grieves us more and more. That means when that starts to happen in us, we need to rejoice and break out a bottle of sparkling cider and let the bubbles flow, because we are experiencing growth in wisdom. Amen. It means we're getting closer to Him. Another strong scriptural concept in the Old Testament for fool is the word rebel. Scripture says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. To be a rebel, you do your own thing and go your own way, thinking it's better. It is a fool, and actually it means that you're in idolatry. To go your own way, you are walking in idolatry. That's what the Israelites did for many, many years. Bible foolishness has as much a sense of rebellion as folly. But then rebellion against God is definitely foolish. Is that true? How many of you have seen that proven in your own lives, where you rebelled and doggone it was really foolishness, wasn't it? Even as we're Christians, sometimes we do that. And we look back and we say, whoa, what did I take that path for? That was wrong. That was foolish. Non-Christians are definitely bound with foolishness. Christians may be bound with habits of foolishness and wrong thinking, conclusions and concepts, because we spent most of our lives raised up under another way of thinking rather than what the Bible teaches. That's why a door of grace, our most important mission is to get you into this book. Amen. So your minds will be transformed, so you will think like Christ and have the mind of Christ. I know it should be evangelism, but we say evangelism's up there, but we really want to get Christians founded. We really do. And when we're founded, then we can't keep our mouth shut, so we will automatically evangelize people. Amen? We make foolish choices to walk according to old ways in which we used to walk before conversion, and such sinful behavior is contrary to Christ and His provision for us. Isn't that nice? Makes me take a deep breath. And His provision for us. It's not what I just have to do, but He provides for me to walk in His ways. We need to remember we are now new creations in Christ, and we need to learn to walk anew according to what pleases Him and not what pleases me. We need to put on Christ. Your flesh, that part of you which learned to live independently of God before you met Christ, is still present. How many of you know your flesh is still present? Huh? Does it raise up every now and then? Yeah. In Christ, you get a new spirit. In baptism, your sin nature is rendered powerless, but you still have a soul which needs transforming and a body which needs training for righteous behavior. If you are new, then there was an old. So you have to deal with the memories, the habits, the conditioned responses, and thought patterns, the old training which is ingrained in your thinking and your doing. These often cause you to focus on fleshly desires rather than living for Christ. We are trying to swim upstream in a downstream world. To put foolishness on is really sin, and it is so stupid of us to put on foolishness when we have been given the robes of righteousness and we can put on Christ. Which do you choose? Put on foolishness? Put it on as a cloak, or put on the robes of righteousness which Jesus gives us. You are no longer in the flesh as your old self was. You are in Christ. Say that. I am in Christ. I am in Christ, right? But you can still choose to walk according to the flesh, as we read in Romans 8, 12 and 13, and yield to the old habits of serving self instead of God. Remember, what we need to do, and Pastor Kev taught a whole lesson on this, and it's pivotal in our walk in Christ. We need to reckon that you are now a new creation in Christ. We are called by God to crucify the flesh and learn to walk according to the Spirit, allowing our thoughts to be changed by the renewing of our mind. He has provided our victory, but now we must mature in Christ. Maturing is the transforming or the renewing of the mind from foolishness to wisdom. Thus endeth the introduction. We'll get on with the notes now. The biblical view of man and the effect of the fall. The biblical perspective of man. One, man was created a spiritual being. We have deep longings and desires. Like God, we long for and have a capacity for loving and meaningful relationship. Right. We long to know we are loved by others. We long to have value and importance, significance and security, or call it purpose and acceptance. We long for those things, and they're not wrong if they're fulfilled by Christ and in Christ, and according to wisdom, not foolishness. Two, man was created a thinking being. A thinking being. We have images and beliefs. Two, B, man was created a choosing being with a free will. We choose what we do, and we are therefore responsible. Two, C, man was created an emotional being. We experience feelings, often with great intensity. Three, man was created a physical being. Prior to the fall of Adam into sin in the garden, these five perspectives flowed in harmony with God. He had a relationship. He was not lonely. He thought correctly. He knew what was right. He chose to do the right things. Adam made the right choices. Adam's emotions were freely, fully, and properly expressed. But after the fall, man became subject to sin and sought illegitimate fulfillment in something other than God. Other is your fill-in. What you think leads to what you do, your behaviors and actions. Our behavior comes from our images and beliefs. Images. What is an image? Images are how you picture yourself and pictures of how you think you're seen by other people. If you see yourself as God sees you, you will walk in wisdom. Wow, that's so easy. If you see yourself as God sees you, you will walk in wisdom. If you see yourself as you think others see you, you will probably walk in foolishness. Beliefs. Beliefs are verbalized expressions of the picture image. Your beliefs become your convictions. These lead to certain goals based on what you think and see for yourself, which lead to your behaviors. True biblical change is based on having a transformed mind. Your feeling is transformed. You can't change from these images and beliefs without having a transformed mind, and that's what we're getting at. That's what we need. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." Ephesians 4:23 says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." The answer is not in changing your circumstances or letting your emotions control you.
Right.
Doing what feels good is simply hedonism. Or changing your behavior, as we heard last week in a great message, is only legalism. God wants to change your thinking, your inner man. You get the difference?
Yeah.
Do what you think is good. That's hedonism. The world is going to hell in a handbasket because of hedonism. But what we need to do is let God change that thinking. As we dwell in His Word and get His idea, His images, and His beliefs about us, and we will walk in a renewed, transformed mind, and we will easily walk in wisdom. You need to have your mind washed and renewed by God's Word. Ephesians 5:26, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the Word. Many times a person may experience depression because he or she has refused to give up emotional self-centeredness for Jesus Christ. Yeah, wow. Wow. Many times a person may experience depression because she or he has refused to give up emotional self-centeredness for Jesus Christ. Or perhaps he or she refuses to reckon on what God says about them. Rejecting biblical truth as the basis for thinking is foolishness. If you reject this word, you are walking in foolishness. If you reject what God says about you, you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Behold, all things have become made new. This is exciting. This is neat. That is the good news. You don't have to walk in those old patterns. You don't have to walk in those old ways. So don't reject it. Don't step on it. Don't stomp on it. Instead, get it inside you and let it change your thinking. A negative confession can lead to depression because you don't understand, believe, or walk in the victory Jesus wants you to experience. Depression often comes from a loss of the sense that you are a choosing being. Choosing is your fill-in. A life is happening to me perspective. The victim says, I'm not responsible, instead of realizing that you made choices that led to where you are now. Even if you are legitimately a victim, this can be very real. But in that, you can make godly choices not to let that victimization control your life.
Sure.
Think as he thinks about you. Amen. Thoughts on foolishness. The key scripture is Psalm 14:1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You ever heard anybody say it? That's the atheist. Yep, I have too. Two, foolishness is a conviction, a belief, a presumption that you can make your life work without, you fill it in, God, right? Foolishness. Isn't that funny? It's not just a word. Foolishness is a conviction. It's a belief. It's a presumption that you can make your life work without him. Huh. The fool or rebel says, I can meaningfully fill my life without God. I will provide whatever I need for myself. That is just scary. But you know, parts of this lesson today, and when we describe the stages of foolishness in a few minutes, I want you to think, maybe you are not walking there, but I want you to think, if you know these facts, do you know we have a whole community of fools? People without God, people who are not walking with God. And in knowing the facts, you can minister to these people, in knowing where they are. I mean, honest to goodness, it's so easy. When you understand the material, it's easy to pray for somebody because you know you can meet their need. Jesus in you, as your mind is renewed, you know how to pray for other people. Three, God hates it when you call a Christian a fool. Matthew 5:22 says, whoever says you fool shall be in danger of hellfire. Whoa, that's strong, isn't it, huh? You are saying you are a rebel against the sovereign God Almighty. You're not a Christian with a renewed mind. You're not an image bearer of your Creator. This insults God and his powerful, creative, and transforming efforts in our lives. Whoa! So I don't think, if I ever call any of you a fool, just get a wet noodle and just slap me with it. God doesn't like that. Because we're precious in his sight. He died for us. He went all the way for you and me. So how stupid of us not to walk in that, in the way of wisdom and turn from foolishness. Four, everyone not regenerated by the blood of Jesus is a fool, and his mind thinks foolishness. Since the fall, man sinfully self-protects, blame shifts, and tries to hide from God. Whoa. Yeah. Let me tell you a story about the first two people on this earth. It was Adam and Eve, right? They tried to hide behind fig leaves. Genesis 3:8-13, I'm reading from these verses. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid. They hid behind trees. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. When the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? He said, I heard your voice in the garden because I was afraid. I was naked and I hid myself. And God said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded that you should not eat? And the man said, he blame shifts and hid behind the woman. The woman who you gave me to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. She hides and blame shifts and hides behind the serpent. Anytime you hide behind a snake, you're getting pretty low. Anybody who says that Adam wasn't with Eve when she ate of the fruit needs to go back and read the words again, because he was right there. And she did it, and he didn't suffer. Adam. I've been so mad at him so many times, but I'm afraid if I was in the same place, you know? We all need Jesus. For the development of a fool. Stages of foolishness. These are not stages of Christians who have been transformed by the renewing of their minds. However, we all start out just like Adam, okay? Stage 1, innocent foolishness, ages 0 to 1. Babies live a lie by nature. They're born fallen with a sin nature. Babies are born fallen. Okay? Some people don't like that. I can't help it. The Bible says it is. Stage 2, beginning foolishness, ages 2 to 5. They learn foolishness. Guess what from? Parental example.
Right.
Stage 3, they fall into habitual foolishness. This is ages 6 to 12. Continuing parental example. But now you also have social interaction. They relate to what they see their parents and peers doing. Stage 4, discontented foolishness, ages 13 to 18. This is so neat, because if you know these things, it's easy to minister to people in these age groups. Discontented foolishness. Sometimes we're intimidated by 13 to 18-year-olds. We are. As adults, we kind of want to stay far away from them, especially if they're not our own, but we interact very cautiously with them. Well, we need to know that there is discontented foolishness going on in their hearts. Life is not making sense. It's not working. Adolescence is a time of vacillation between thinking you have all the answers or none of the answers. Man, have I seen this in my grandsons. I can't believe it. They either think they know it all or they're hopeless and they don't know anything and they're just dumb and blah, blah, blah. Don't listen to this on the CD, kids. I love you to pieces. You know that. Vacillation between thinking you are immortal or worthless. Have you seen that in teenagers?
Sure.
Knowing that gives you some ammunition for knowing how to minister to them. Because I think sometimes we stay away because we don't think they really have needs. Oh, yes, they do. They have huge needs, and life isn't working for them. And many times as I've reached out to my grandsons and I minister to them where I know they really are, but it's not looking like it, honest to goodness, they break and they are absolutely precious. They break down and cry, oh, Baba, how did you know? How did you know? I know because I understand the stages of foolishness and I know they're walking in it. Okay. The enemy presents plenty of alternatives designed to help you feel good, to get beyond yourself, to gratify yourself. Drugs, alcohol, the occult, sex, self-gratification. These are short-term, usually physical, and very pleasurable. Adolescents are frustrated, depressed, and try to escape because they think they know it all. Yeah, life doesn't work, so it's not coming together. So they go into one of these other things that gives them pleasure for a moment, the consequences of which are usually devastating to them, and then they just spiral down. And that's why, sadly, we see such a high suicide rate among teenagers or adolescents. It's because they haven't been able to put it together. Let's go on. Stage 5, ages 19 to 30. This is redirected foolishness. Redirected is the fill-in. The hippies said, don't conform. Don't trust anyone over 30, until they were. But most people appear to grow up, become mature, by conforming to this world's acceptable behavior, which is ever-changing. Just watch Desperate Housewives. I'm not watching it. Conforming to this world's acceptable behavior. And television has done so much to erode any moral concepts that are written in this book, the wisdom of this book, and are giving liberty to lives. Television is giving liberty to lives to be destroyed. That's my comment on TV. People do this. They conform to the world's acceptable behavior because they want to fit in and be a success. How tragic. Most stop going through their rebellious or freaky stage, but they settle in to the world's acceptable behavior. How tragic. How tragic today in the United States of America. How tragic. people, serious Christians, are leaving churches faster than you can believe. Pastors are leaving the ministry by dozens. The figures blow my mind, mainly because people are going along with the world's behavior and not standing on the morality of the Bible. Stage 6, settle foolishness, ages 31 to 65. This is an age of prime productivity, where they really become established fools. God is not central, and they worship false gods, the jet set, the going up the ladder, learn strategies to make things work, filling your personal spiritual longings illegitimately with power, position, materialism, money, conquest, things, estate building, and the list goes on and on and on. Maybe you heard yourself in one of those things. I know I'm convicted. I don't want to walk there. I want God's idea. I want to fill my spiritual longings, my longings, the deep things in my heart, with what He wants me to fill them with, not with this list of things. Stage 7, depleted foolishness, ages 66 to death. All people without God. Life has not worked. They are left with emptiness and depression. Nothing to live for or look forward to. Wanting to die. Nothing satisfies. And it seems too late to do anything about it. Oh my gracious, in our community, how many of those people do you know? Have you met? Have you talked with in the last month? Let's understand where they're really at. Let's lead them to Jesus and a satisfying life, a life that sings. Amen. Stage 8, eternal foolishness, and you live there forever. They will be eternally thirsty because only Jesus can satisfy a real thirst, and they never accepted Him. They will spend eternity in hell. They have never exchanged their foolishness for wisdom and truth. The man who counsels himself is a fool. Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds wise counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims foolishness. Proverbs 28:26, a man is a fool to trust himself. Wow. The world promotes self-image, self-esteem, and self-confidence. But yet the Bible says, wisdom says, God's message to us is a man is a fool to trust himself. Three things not to trust or obey: yourself, peers, and those more advanced in degeneracy. How's that? Whoa! Yeah. 6. One becomes wise by trusting in the Lord and by listening to the wise instructions of others. Only fools refuse to be taught. Benjamin Franklin said, "They who will not be counseled cannot be helped." Wow. We do not encourage novices, counseling novices, however. Peers may pray for you and encourage you, but peers should not counsel. Instead, let's have peers just encouraging one another. 2, characteristics of those who do walk in foolishness. 1, they have inaccurate thinking that causes one to retreat into darkness. Inaccurate is your fill-in. John 13:19-21. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come into the light, lest his deeds be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. 2, another characteristic of those who walk in foolishness: withdrawal and self-protection is sin. A good question to ask yourself, if you wonder if your activities are sinful is this. If Jesus walked into the room right now, would I continue doing what I am doing? Or even a better one, would I ask him to join me? What would Jesus do? A fool self-protects to avoid the pain of shame, disapproval, rejection, or correction. 3, pride and rebellion. I can handle it on my own. The Bible declares that there is wisdom and safety in getting help from qualified others. Proverbs 11:14, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. 4, a critical spirit. Proverbs 6:16-19. These 6 things the Lord hates, yet 7 are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. 5, a demanding spirit, another characteristic of those who walk in foolishness. A demanding spirit. Ecclesiastes 1:8. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. 6, deception. You are convinced you're right when you're actually wrong. A fool counsels himself into progressive deception. Let's change a little bit here. The purpose of spiritual leadership. The biblical model of oversight is found in Exodus 18:17-22, as Moses was taught about how to raise up supportive additional leadership. In the New Testament, we also see that God raises up leadership, Ephesians 4:11-13, and those in leadership are held as a villain responsible before God to watch for your souls. Hebrews 13:17, they must give an accounting to God for the spiritual progress of those for whose care they are entrusted. In other words, in spiritual leadership, and as you become ministers, you will be held responsible. That's why you have to let this fill your mind, because you're going to be ministering to people, and you don't want to minister out of your own thinking, your own head, or out of foolishness ever, ever, ever. You only want to minister out of the precious Word of God. Oversight is intended to be a blessing and a strength to you from the Lord, to reinforce you in righteousness and the security of knowing you are in the will of God. Wow. It gives you strength and security. That's good. 8, choose wisdom, the proper application of right thinking. Wisdom is in the Bible over 540 times, over twice as many times as fools, folly, and foolishness. Hey, he wins, right? Woo! I love it. Yes, wisdom, 540 times. The first 9 chapters of Proverbs deals much with gaining wisdom. Though Solomon's parents warned him to forsake foolishness and choose wisdom, his roots were still in a fallen nature. In his later years, he chose to be corrupted by his wives, who turned him from the true God to their false gods. Who you hang around with matters. The wisest man in all the world was corrupted by his peers, those to whom he was yoked, by those closest to him. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Key scriptures to remember. Psalms 111:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who is wisdom, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Ooh, I love that. Yeah, he wants to pour out wisdom on us. All we have to do is turn around and ask. Be humble and say, I don't know what to do. Help me, Lord. Yes. 9, the results of wisdom. 1, a new and transformed mind, the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, you have the mind of Christ. Mm-hmm. Turn to yourself. Turn to yourself and say, you have the mind of Christ. Do it. Tell yourself. No, you have to say it with your mouth. Good. Amen. Okay. 2, victory, rulership over sin. Genesis 4:7. If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you shall rule over it. You shall rule over it. Amen. I love it. 3, dependency on Jesus. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Pain, testings, and trials test your faith for the purpose of making it stronger. 4, when we're in it, doesn't seem that way, does it? That's why we need others who are qualified. We need peers to encourage us, and we need spiritual leadership to help us see that we are on the right path. Number 4, those with wisdom are seekers of Christ. Those with wisdom are seekers of Christ. Colossians 2:3. Speaking of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. My Colossian gals, yeah? Yeah, amen. Okay. 5, obedience. Isaiah 30:21. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. Walk in wisdom. Avoid foolishness and rebellion. Turn away from the temptress, from the devil, from anyone who might confuse, distract, or misguide you. Don't walk with fools, but with the wise. Psalm 1:1-3. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight shall be in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Amen. The end of the lesson, but I have just a little addendum at the end. This morning, it's just a personal example. This morning, I had read the scriptures for today in our reading through the Bible in a year. And I went to write my spiritual notebook, and you know, it didn't pop out at me. Nothing really popped out at me. And I thought, well, yeah, this is, well, that was good. Yeah. But it was just kind of, nothing was jumping. But then something started to happen in my spirit, and I saw that if the Lord hadn't made it possible for Jephthah to win the battles, it says over and over and over again in the reading today that the Lord did it, the Lord did it, the Lord did it. It was the Lord's victory. And I picked up my pencil, and I started to write. I'm going to share it with you. I wrote this. Oh, you can just have I make it fun for you, Vern. Jesus, you are so wonderful. I love you so much because I saw God was so big in the Old Testament. He was able to win those battles. They couldn't win them for themselves. They didn't have a chance against those enemies. But he saw to it that they won them. So I'm impressed with him. So I said, I love you so much. And I draw a picture of myself. That's me telling him. And then I saw who he was to me. I saw who he was to me. All of a sudden, my Lord, my God, my Father, my chosen one. Those are the things I was thinking about him. You are awesome, O Holy One of Israel. Amazing. You are simply amazing. Because that's what I got out of reading the scriptures today. What's happening in my spirit, in my soul? Something is starting to happen. It's not from a verse. It's from an interaction with the Word and with the author of this book. Let me give you the next page. And what this does is it shows me what is really in my head. These things were popping out of me, just popping out of me. And it shows me what's really in my head. And that made me smile. My countenance was changing because I'd gone to this book and because I focused on it. Okay, I'm talking about you being a minister. I'm talking about you thinking of all the days in your life. If you will go to this book and get some relationship with the author of this book, honest to goodness, I was like twinkly dancy star in here this morning. I couldn't keep it back because I was filled with right thinking and I was filled with the mind of Christ. Not what was going in my life, on in my life, and the fact that at 2 o'clock last night or this morning I could not find the fill-in things and it wasn't on my computer anyplace and I didn't know what in the world I was going to do. All those things that you're just, you know? But when you get right thinking in your head, when you get a relationship going with Him, all of a sudden you do have something to minister to people. Anyway, it makes me smile, so I do a smiley face. Right thinking equals wisdom, not foolishness. Where are my gals? My two gals stand up in the back who told me the line goes this way, not that way, right? Yeah. Anyway, right thinking, being in this book and right thinking means that you're dwelling in wisdom, not foolishness. I wasn't in my own thinking. I've come out of my own thinking and into His thinking here. It lets me know I'm yours. And the next one. It's not legalism. What happened to me this morning wasn't legalism. It wasn't behaviorism. It wasn't something that was put on me. It flows from our hearts if we will focus. Bill, thank you, Jesus, for Thursday night and your word focus when I was dancing on the ceiling again. And trust. Thank you, Pastor Kim, for Thursday night. Those two words. It's really important. To get wisdom, we need to focus and we need to trust that we do hear from God. And what's it all about? It's not legalism. It's not behaviorism. It's not putting something on you. It's not, I can't be a fool. What it really is relationship with the author of this book. And that's what makes wisdom not just a word, but a relationship. It's a relationship with Jesus. Try it. You'll like it. Keep doing it and keep encouraging me to do it. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.